Welcome. Are you ready to take a journey with me into knowledge, enlightenment, and discovery? Then let's journey again together. This is your host, Rebecca Jernigan, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Oh, hello, and welcome to today's show. What a fabulous guest I have. Dr. Edward Henry Doughty Jr. is with us today. Now, for those of you who don't remember, Dr. Doughty was also on Journeys with Rebecca several times in the past few years. And we're going to talk a little bit more about him in just a moment. But I'm going to go ahead and direct you over to my website, which is journeyswithrebecca.com. Under Journeys News, there's some changes. On BBS, we are going to be between 9 and 8 p.m. Central Time. Also, would like to mention Jerry Smith. He's going to be a featured speaker at this year's Conspiracy Con 7. It's going to be held at the Crown Plaza Hotel in downtown San Jose, California, on May 26th and 27th. He's going to be talking about weather warfare. You can get out more information at conspiracycon.com. And then again, Sandy Andrew has a book signing at Barnes & Noble at the Zona Rosa location in Northwest Prairie View Road in Kansas City, Missouri. And that's on Saturday, April 21st at 3 p.m. You can get some more information at universallearningseries.com. Also, if you guys have missed a show, check out the audio archives. They are available 24/7, 100% free to download. And don't forget that Journeys with Rebecca is now podcast. And special thanks to my sponsor, Fate Magazine. You can find out more about Fate at www.fatemag.com. Real quick, back to Edward Doughty Jr. Today we are going to be talking about twin paradox, dual slit paradox, dark matter, relativity, warp space, all kinds of really fascinating scientific stuff. You can find out more about Dr. Doughty at extinctionshift.com. Of course, there's a link right there on the front page. Please don't forget to click on his website. He's got all kinds of free information for you to go and read about. We appreciate so much you being here with Journeys with Rebecca. You guys stay with us because we're going to be right back with Dr. Edward Doughty Jr.
Journeys with Rebecca is sponsored by Fate Magazine, providing true accounts of the strange and unknown for over 58 years. To receive your free copy of Fate Magazine, call 800-728-2730 or log on to fatemag.com.
Call Rebecca and schedule your private reading. 888-95-TAROT. That's 888-958-2768. Where will your life journey take you?
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. And as promised, we have a return guest here today on Journeys with Rebecca. His name is Dr. Edward Henry Doughty Jr., and he works for NASA. And he's here today because we are going to be talking about some of the nonsense that he calls going on in the sciences. He's also going to talk about the fact that there's pure science, that which is explainable, the intuitive, which is what we should be teaching our children and how our new scientists are going to be. And so let's welcome him to the show. Hi there, Dr. Doughty.
Good day, Rebecca. It is a pleasure being here with you once again on your show, Journeys with Rebecca.
Oh, thank you. And I do want to let everyone know that you originally came on the very first time, because you've been on a couple times since then, but you had written a book called The Extinction Shift Principle, which I found very fascinating, by the way. And for those of you who missed that show, because it was a long time ago, you can always go to the website, click on the link there, and it will take you to Dr. Doughty's website. There you can find out about that book, because we're actually kind of doing, I guess you would call it a little bit more of an update, a little bit more information. Today we're going to be talking about twin paradox, dual slit paradox, dark matter, relativity, warp space, a lot of other things. So, Dr. Doughty, in your opinion, I know you. We've spoken a lot before we started this show today. But one of your statements that you made to me was that it seems like that scientists are always having to go back to the drawing board, creating new theories to explain why they failed to explain correctly for the first time.
Oh, yeah. That is true, Rebecca. And because of the new technology that we have now and the fact that we are venturing out into deep space and we are able to peer into the heavens and we see a lot more stuff than we saw previously, we always happen to go back and take a second look and look at some new stuff to try to explain it. And that's where the problem comes in.
All right. Well, do you want to let's talk about, it seems how you brought up the space, the twin paradox. That's really a fascinating topic when I was reading the information on that.
Yes, and our children are confronted with the challenge in schools nowadays, and they have to go home and with the homework and read the books, and the textbooks are very expensive these days now, and this is also a challenge for parents, you know, to try to keep up with the literature and what the children are bringing home and so forth. Then you have certain terms such as the twin paradox, and the paradox, the word paradox means that there's something that's not explained, but however, you just accept it. Don't ask questions. You just accept it, you know? And to try to get people to explain these things. Children may come up with questions to try to explain these things, and that's where the unfairness comes in.
Uh huh. Okay, so we understand paradox. Now, give us an example of what the twin paradox means.
What that actually means is that we have the entities of matter. You have the particles and you have the waves and the packages of waves. And what the scientists do in the laboratory, they send these waves and particles through openings or slits or tiny microscopic doors. And what happens when these particles arrive at the slit or doors, they do strange things. For instance, you send an electron or a wave to a slit. The slit becomes a secondary source. And it seems that the particles of electrons would tend to split up, and it decides to enter two doors at the same time. Suppose now that you had a rock. You throw a rock through a door, and you're a good pitcher. You know, you can aim very well, and what happens, the rock decides to go through two entrances at the same time. That seems to be magic, and since these things are unexplainable, they call it a paradox or some kind of unexplainable scientific phenomenon, and out of that was born what is known today as quantum mechanics. And the quantum mechanics is just another branch of science and physics the students I have been having to deal with. And then you learn the ways to think differently. You know, they're actually teaching you how to think rather than think for yourself. And when you go into these classrooms, too often the students are confronted with, well, the professor gets up here and says, well, of course you know this and this is true, and this is how you solve the problem. But just don't ask too many questions and try to put your own ideas into it. You have to learn the ropes, and this is where it comes in. But our kids are not given the leeway of doing their own thinking these days, you know. And the science is getting too bogged down with all these new theories and new principles that you have to accept. To come up with new ideas, you have to challenge it.
Well,
defend your ideas.
Right, and you know that's like our history books. You know, they give you history books and they say this is an absolute. Well, we know for a fact, at least I do, that some of the history that I learned in school is absolutely false.
Oh yes.
You know, so you know that was what I was taught, and then as we get older and we learn new things, we go, okay, so that isn't an absolute truth. Well, the twin paradox. You gave an example about the twin brothers that take a trip into space.
Yes.
I would like for you to talk about that, because that is going to bend some minds for people out there, and that's what we need them to do.
Yes, one of the measuring devices we have today in the lab, we measure, we tend to measure what is going on so that we can write a report and we can go back and tell others our experience. In order to write down your experience, you have to put down some numbers. And one of the measuring devices in the laboratory are clocks. And these are devices that keep the moments of time, or the so-called time that we have decided. We divide the time moments up into hours, minutes, and seconds, microseconds, even very, very short times when it comes to looking at the structures of the matter, our body, the atoms, and so forth. Now we're down to nanosecond technology, very, very short times, right? But it so happens that when we put these clocks on Earth and we send other clocks into space with high velocities and get them out of the gravitational pull of the Earth or away from our own environment, the clock that is on Earth runs at a different rate than the clock that is in space. And it seems that as the clock in space moves about at very high speeds and getting away from the gravitational grip of the Earth, it seems to us that clock tends to slow down. And let's say you have a twin, so some twins, a brother on Earth, and his twin travels into space. And what happens, according to what is being taught in the science books, and also accept the theory of relativity and the so-called time dilation, or the dilation of time, the slowing down of time, you're in a different space, a warp space. For instance, when you watch Star Wars, some of the programs on TV, the traveling through space, they always talk about warp space and going into warp drive. What happens is that a lot of these programs, they go through a wormhole, and you go back in time, or you go forward in time, and you go to a different region of time. Those are things that came out of the series. And that twin brother, for example, the one that's traveling space, he gets old, and we all get old, but however, he gets old at a much slower rate. And let's say he gets to be 50 years old, and if he travels long enough in space, he becomes 50 years old, while his brother left behind on Earth aged much more rapid. He becomes 100 years old, for example. So he experienced a different time according to the theory of relativity, when you have time dilation. And you put into the equations, you do some calculations, that the moments of time that is experienced by the brother that's traveling in space, his clock is running slower, and much more slower, such that when he ages, he ages at a much slower rate. And that's the theory. So taking that and running it backwards, there are many scientists who believe that you can travel through time and spaces. This is true. So what happens in the laboratory, we experience the clocks changing on us. Does that mean that time really slows down, or time really sped up, or is it our measuring apparatus that is the problem? Perhaps there's no such thing as the perfect clock, because Einstein said in his own words, time, the clocks is the mechanism that keeps track of the time. That's all it does, and not necessarily time, because the nature, in my mind, the universe does not need time. We created time as a measurement in our own observation. We created the hours and minutes and seconds. The universe does not need any of those things, you know. So what we are doing, we're actually measuring time, and our measuring instrument, if we assume our measuring instrument is accurate, it may not be there's no such thing as absolute truth. nothing is absolute.
No, because the more you find out, the more you realize you don't know.
Exactly. So we know the time.
Here's how I feel about clocks and time. It was something that was put together so people could stay, I guess, stay cohesive so that they have routines. Like every morning you go to work at 8 o'clock, you get out at 5 o'clock. It's a device to let you know you've been there for a certain amount of time.
Yes. We synchronize our activities.
Right. There you go. That was what I was looking for.
And one thing I wish people would leave, I wish they would leave the clocks alone and stop with this daylight saving time.
Oh, yeah. Somebody told me, I actually had a disagreement with somebody. They said, and I made that same statement. I said, I wish they would just leave the clocks alone, man. This is just, you know, messes people up. And somebody said to me, and they said, well, it gives you an hour extra of time every day. And I was like, how do you figure? Does it add another hour so we should be at 25 hours a day?
Yeah,
I said, it doesn't do anything. All it does is just adjust when you get up and when you go to bed.
Exactly.
It doesn't have anything. It adds nothing.
And now that nobody knows what time it is.
Oh, my goodness. Is that the truth? And my understanding is apparently they're going to keep everyone on daylight savings time in the next year or two. They're going to make that a permanent time change instead of spring forward and fall back thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so we'll all be on this daylight savings time because it gives us, quote unquote, an extra hour in the day.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't give us anything. It
right.
just changes when we get up and when we go to bed as far as what the clock says.
Right. If we were going to do all this manipulation, we would build these clocks. Some of these clocks work well. Spring forward automatically if you have computers. A lot of the computers would do it automatically. But
yes.
Once they changed the daylight saving time to a different date than we had the previous year, that caused them some difficulties.
Yeah, it was the brilliance of somebody that decided to do that.
Exactly. You have a very, very fine way of putting it.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite things.
Oh, yeah, I tell you.
Well, that's kind of interesting that, you know, that the person that's in space, though, appears to age at half, you know, half the age.
Yes.
The one on Earth appears to double
exactly.
the aging process.
Because when they put these satellites into space, they put the timekeeping mechanism on board the satellite. And what happens, you'll find that as these clocks leave Earth, and you're in space in vacuum, and you're in a weightless situation where this gravitational field acting on the clock is not there, that clock is going to run at a different rate than the one that's on Earth. So they had to make some adjustments. And that they come up with these theories, for example, it's a time dilation series and the other series, which has to do with the relativistic changing of the clocks and the dilation of the time and so forth. And this is where this all comes from.
Wow. So there's more theories out there on top of the theories on top of the theories.
Yeah. Yes, right.
It's so confusing.
Oh,
it is so confusing. And I feel bad for our students, pardon me, that are in school at this point because everything is so convoluted now and it's just kind of the waters are very muddied.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I think I remember having this conversation with you a few years back when you were first on the show about I was doing a algebra problem. The teacher called me up. I was in high school.
Right.
And had me do this algebra problem. And so I'm looking at the problem, and, you know, I'm figuring it out, and I get to the end, and you have to write out the answers as well as the final answer as you're going along, the actual process of it. So I'm doing all my thing up there, and I get done, and I have the right answer, and he said to me, he said, well, that's wrong. And I said, is the answer wrong? And he said, well, no, the answer's not wrong, but your process is wrong. And I said, well, how can my process be wrong if I ended up with the right answer?
Exactly.
And he said, well, that's just not the way it's done. And I said, well, then I said to him, you know, of course, I got into really a lot of trouble. I said, if the answer's right, then obviously I'm not wrong.
Right.
And I said, maybe your school that taught you that didn't know what they were talking about. And, you know, I only went through that with a C average because everything I did was half wrong. Everything
you know
I did.
You know what, Rebecca? Nobel Prizes come out of these classrooms where people think differently than the norm. And this is where greatness comes from, you know. People
well, I gave up that math.
Yeah.
I did. I gave it up because I was so frustrated. I went from algebra to geometry, was going to go to algebra 2, and I gave up on it because everything I did was half wrong.
But you know what? Look what you have accomplished, you know? You can look back to this guy. You can give him a piece of your mind.
If I could find him, I would.
Yeah. But you know what? Recently, just yesterday on the news, there was a young lady who won $100,000. And they broadcast this nationwide. She was one of the science. They had this program where a lot of young students come together and win these prizes, you know, the science contest. And she had the top prize. That shows you what these kids are capable of doing. So you want to be careful in your classroom. There's always one person in that classroom that may think differently and come up with a better answer than what's in the textbook.
Well, and that's a true story. That's a true statement, rather, because, you know, we sell our children short because they don't think like we do.
Exactly.
As far as the teachers are concerned. And I'm not dodging or, you know, making bad comments about teachers. I think they're very underpaid, but they're right there along with everyone else that says, well, this is the way that is because this is the way that I was taught. They're not necessarily outside the box thinkers.
Right.
That doesn't make them bad at all. It just
right,
makes them
not.
Yeah.
That is unfortunately we don't have enough teachers that are broad minded enough to understand the situation that
well,
we're in.
Well, most of them wouldn't be in that position anyway. Most
right.
of them would be, you know, in colleges or
exactly.
you know, professors or deans or whatever because they're of their thinking outside of their box and their
that's
high level of creativity. So
that's why we say well, teachers are vastly underpaid. You know?
They are.
In many other countries and other cultures around the world, the teachers are considered the elite. They are highly paid. You know.
Well,
and I
really feel like that's the way it should be. I mean, our whole economy here in this United States is upside down. That's a whole other show. But you know, where we pay our sports people and our entertainment people. I mean, disgustingly high amounts of money, but yet our teachers and police officers and fire departments and, you know, the people that wait on us every day when we go buy our groceries and that kind of stuff is all, they're all underpaid.
Oh, yes.
But if you're, you know, a star or a sports person or whatever, or, you know, whatever it may be.
Of course, and it is the unfairness that is just this worrying on our young people when it comes to the sciences, and this is why we're losing too many opportunities to get young people to go into the sciences now.
I agree.
They'd rather go into show business or something else.
Let's go make a lot of money on Wall Street or something.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I tell you.
Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking about dark matter, relativity, warp space, and a lot of other things, you guys. I want you to stay with us. We're going to be back with Dr. Edward Henry Doughty, Jr., and more of Journeys with Rebecca. We are having a fascinating conversation.
Very
be
good.
Right back.
Very good, Rebecca.
You can't judge a psychic on TV because of producer-induced theatrics and clever editing. But now you can analyze famous psychics including Derek Acora, Peter James, Linda McKenzie, and Dana Smoller in the new DVDs ISPR Investigates the Comedy Store and ISPR Investigates Crest Hill Mansion. It's all raw and uncensored footage from 1999. Showcasing how psychics really communicate with earthbound entities in the field. The new ISPR DVDs are available at JourneysWithRebecca.com. It makes the perfect gift for the paranormal enthusiast on your list.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life and by others just like you who have something dramatic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on all aspects of the paranormal, angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now 800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate waits.
Hello, I'm Jane Goodall. Only half of the world's forests and wetlands that existed at the start of the 20th century still exist today. We must do a far better job of protecting wildlife habitats, or environmental chaos awaits those who follow us. If you own land you want kept safe forever, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. 1-800-729-SAVE.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Oh, welcome back, and thanks for staying with us today. We have Dr. Edward Henry Doughty Jr. We are talking about all kinds of really cool stuff like twin paradox, dual slit paradox. We're going to be talking about dark matter, relativity, warp space, and a lot of other things. Welcome back, Dr. Doughty.
Good to be back, Rebecca. Very good.
Let's talk about dark matter, dark energy, unseen matter, that kind of stuff of the universe, because that's pretty interesting, because that's a lot of stuff that's in the headlines right now.
Oh, yes, Rebecca. As we began to get more technology and the observational tools that we use to go out into the heavens, we have the Hubble spacecraft, and as we leave Earth and go away from the Earth, out of the atmosphere, into the heavens, we have a clear view of much more stuff out in the heavens now. And observing the universe, the solar system, even the satellites that we have managed to send past Jupiter and Mars and so forth, what the scientists have noticed is that there seems to be a lot of missing stuff. There's a missing matter of the universe, because as we understand gravity, the gravitational pull of the Earth and the Moon, which causes the tides on the Earth, is the gravitational pull of the Moon that affects our tides and the waters and the rivers and so forth, the levels of the tidal forces because of the gravitational pull of the Moon. But however, there are many other things that are going on in the heavens that tell the scientists that there's some missing stuff out there someplace, that something is missing. So they come up with these new terms, and one of the terms is called dark matter, and out of that is dark energy, and there's the unseen stuff in the universe. So we can see the disturbances, but we cannot see the stuff that is causing the disturbance. So they come up with these new to fill in, to try to fill in the gap, to fill in the information, to try to explain the unexplained. And there's stuff out there that can't be seen but causes a disturbance in the heavens. That's the gimmick right now. It's a new fad, and that's what it all boils down to. And the many theoreticians and scientists and physicists are doing this right now, and some are doing it without even thinking any further. They just go along with the flow. And here we are with this new world of science now in cosmology called the dark energy. And there are many theorists who are trying to polish this up, try to refine it, and try to come up with explanations as to what's really going on out there.
So is there really an explanation?
I believe that what we see in the heavens, we see the stars and galaxies, we see that is emitting light. There are a lot of things out there that are emitting energies and waves of different frequencies, some very high energy. What is in the universe today, I believe there is much more that we cannot see, that we cannot detect. We don't have the understanding or the instruments to be able to detect everything. But also, there is a lot of mass out there, matter, that is not emitting light, and that's the unseen matter, what they call dark matter, to try to fill in what's really going on. And I believe also that we tend to miss the point. We are missing the point that because we have many ideas and many explanations that are not getting into the textbooks because they are explanations that are not using the terminologies that are generally accepted, the so-called acceptance of the rules of the establishment. So they say you come up with an idea, for example, in your classroom, you're able to solve a problem, and you get the right answer. But however, you use a different technique. That's what's been used, the accepted rules and so forth, and it tends to get rejected. So I think we have a tendency to get too bogged down in a gimmicks and fads and so forth.
I agree. I think they just try to label things just to label them instead of waiting. No patience, I don't think.
That's right. We must have patience and be open-minded to new ideas and new terms and new ways of thinking. And to give you an example of the reason why that should be so, there has been, in the last month, a couple of years, there were some new discoveries. And the reason for this is because these new discoveries, you ask the question, why has it taken us so long to discover this? One of the new discoveries that we found out, we send astronauts into space, for example. We've gone to the moon, and right now there's the dream of going beyond the moon to Mars, and even beyond that. If we go into space, for an example, the space agency has recently found out that because of the highly energetic cosmic radiation that's coming from the distant galaxies, way beyond our solar system, beyond our galaxy, from other galaxies, there's an enormous amount of highly energetic particles that are peering into our atmosphere. And these particles are so energetic, if you go into space, one will have to shield the spacecraft, because if you didn't shield the spacecraft adequately or put some kind of shielding protection around the spacecraft, and you have, let's say, a crew of 100 astronauts traveling on board a spacecraft going out of the solar system, and let's say a couple of years, half of your crew will come down with leukemia. They would be struck with highly energetic particles peering into their skin, their bodies, causing reactions of the human bodies and so forth. So what happens is we have to shield ourselves from this. It turns out, as long as we're on the planet Earth, the Earth has a magnetic field. And most of these high energetic particles have charges, and these particles are deflected by the Earth's magnetic field. Once you leave the Earth's magnetic field and go to the moon or beyond the moon, then the astronauts are in danger of being penetrated by these particles because of the absence of the shielding of the protection of the Earth's magnetic field. That's one of the things that's recently discovered, and That's another thing. Then secondly, another discovery. On that same note, these very same particles, the very same highly energetic cosmic particles, the scientists have recently, in the past few months, discovered that these particles are the direct cause for triggering lightning. And let's say, for example, if you're an insurance company, what value would this be if you could predict when lightning was going to strike, for example? If you knew when a lightning was going to clap at a certain region, and you have electric clouds being generated, the scientists could not explain what causes the discharge of the high voltage, the potential difference between clouds. Something has to cause the first electrons to move to cause that lightning to clap. And just the instant before lightning happens, there is a pulse of gamma rays that can be detected. And just before just before the lightning crest, the gamma ray pulse will happen. And the gamma ray pulse, the presence of that gamma ray pulse tells you that in a few milliseconds later, a few microseconds later, a lightning is going to run a clap. And this is caused by the cosmic rays that come in to the Earth's atmosphere that actually triggers the lightning. And that would be valuable, to my mind, would be very valuable to insurance companies if you could tell, if you could predict when the lightning was going to clap. Even if I told you in 10 seconds lightning is going to hit here, then you have enough time to get out of the way of a lightning burst.
Wow.
That's, to me, I say, why did it take us so long to come to that understanding?
Well, I think a lot of times they looked in the wrong places.
I tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that is awesome. All right, well, let's, wow. That one kind of bent my mind a little bit. Speaking of bending, we're going to talk a few more minutes here about general relativity, which is light bending, time travel, warp space, etc. These are the kind of things, according to you, that are slowing down the minds of our kids and forcing them not to think for themselves. And, you know, when just before we came back, I talked to you a little bit about light bending. As I was telling you, and I'll talk to the audience now, they have a new cartoon out. The only reason I know about it is because my grandson watches it. I don't remember the name of it, but the heroes of this cartoon are light benders, earth benders, time benders. So that's what the premise of the whole cartoon is based on, is these children who have these gifts to be able to do light bending, earth bending, and it's all about disrupting, you know, whatever the action is that's taking place. And so I'd like for you to talk to us a little bit about general relativity, which is, you know, light bending, time travel, etc.
Yes, say something very briefly on the idea of light bending of general relativity, which has been taught in all the textbooks nowadays. And as you look towards the heavens, for an example, if you have a filter and you were able to look at stars, and the sun were present very near a star and very close to a star, and you have to shield out the light from the sun enough that you can see the light coming from a star that is just going by the disk of the sun. It turns out that a light ray coming from a distant star, as it goes around, goes past the sun, tends to be bent or deflected because of the presence of the solar disk. Now, one could explain this two ways. Relativity, Einstein gave the idea back in 1913 that the light was actually bent by gravitational field of the sun. And one could alternatively explain the same phenomenon by the solar furnace itself. This, around the surface of the sun, there is a hot plasma, ionized gases present around the sun because of the very high temperature of thousands of degrees, causing the solar atmosphere to be ionized, and there are many charged particles around the sun. That is a refractive index mechanism that also causes bending of light or rays of light. And one could explain this exact same phenomenon by using the index of refraction of the sun. But however, if the relativity was correct and the light could actually be bent by gravitation, one would think of the idea of, if let's say you are in the desert, you're out in the desert, right? And because of the heat of the sun and what is known as a mirage, the bending of the light in the hot atmosphere of the earth, one would get the illusion that there was a body of water in front of you because of the light mirage of the bent light And you've heard of the mirage image of a body of water of the desert.
Right,
but it's
right.
Not really there.
Right, and unfortunately we're out of time here. You guys hang with us. We're going to come back and finish up this conversation and talk about the event. Do not go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, Bars Dick.
Oh, hi, Dick.
Okay, I talked to every advertiser in America and the U.S. territories.
Good.
Even Micronesia and the state of Yap.
Good, Yap.
Everyone's ready to start advertising again.
Great.
They now realize that consumers are ready to spend. I'm talking every single advertiser.
Yeah, except Debbie.
I thought you told me Debbie was in.
No, this is a different Debbie.
What's this Debbie's problem?
Well, she said the agency's new creative doesn't speak to her.
What's the product?
Dog food.
Does she have a dog?
No.
Does she eat dog food?
No.
Then she's not the consumer.
No, but she's really ticked off at their spokes dog.
Oh, prima donna, huh?
Prima dog. This dog wants his own trailer, masseuse, use of the company jet.
Company jet?
Wait a minute. I know how we can get Debbie on board, Dick.
How about
get rid of the dog and get a new spokes creature.
I played a chicken once.
He played a chicken once. He played a chicken once.
It's called advertising, and it works. Your competitors know this. Why don't you? This message brought to you by this station, Adweek Magazine, the Radio Advertising Bureau, and the famous Radio Ranch.
Hi, this is Rebecca Jernigan, host of Journeys with Rebecca. As a truly gifted psychic and clairvoyant, let me help answer your life's questions. Schedule your personal and private reading appointment with me. Call 1-888-958-2768 or log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com. Where will your life's journey lead you?
Hi, this is Rebecca. I'd like to take just a few seconds and thank all of my international listeners out there from Australia, Japan, Canada, South Africa, Bahrain, England, and Taiwan. You know, I would really love to hear from you guys. Let me know what you think of the shows or the topics. Email me at Rebecca@journeyswithrebecca.com. And thanks for listening.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Oh, thanks for staying with us. We're here with Dr. Edward Henry Doughty Jr. You were talking about the mirage out on the desert. And I think this is fascinating because I always wondered about that, truly.
Yes, yep. Rebecca, I was just I chose the mirage because I thought it would be easier to explain the other mechanisms that causes light to bend. And for an example, if relativity was faction, were actually fact, and that gravity actually did bend light, then looking into the heavens, there should be many instances of whereby the light coming from distant stars going by a star that happens to be in almost in the path where that's the light coming from those different stars coming to our telescopes, we should see many light Einstein, what is called Einstein rings, rather the star not looking like a point source, it looks like a ring source, in the shape of a ring, because the light is actually bent by a mass that lies halfway between us and that distant star, or somewhere between us and the distant star. We should see many rings all over the sky if we look up into the heavens now. That's not the case. So therefore, to my mind, there's something flawed about the Einstein gravitational light bending rule. And the proof of that, I feel that is in the center of our galaxy. That is what is known, what many scientists believe, is a so-called black hole there. And this black hole is so massive that it has been determined because of the motion of the stars at the center of our galaxy known as Sagittarius A. This mass is about 3.6 million times the mass of our whole solar system. So much mass at a small point. And about this point, there are stars moving so rapidly around this point that it seems that the gravity of this point should bend the light around any star that happens to be moving in the vicinity of this point. The light should be bent because of the gravitational pull, according to general relativity. But when one observes this mass and the motion of the stars about it using the principles of reciprocity, general principles of optics that we teach in our textbook, Gauss's law states that if you close a mass inside of a sphere, the mass that is enclosed, the quantity of mass that is enclosed, is what you need to describe the deflection at the surface of the Gaussian sphere. That these principles seem to be violated, self-violated, and the fact that that is so, there must be something flawed about the general relativity idea of light bending. And this is what the paper that I have recently published on this subject matter, which I have posted on my website, is all about.
Well, okay, so we're going to talk about your website and your book and that kind of thing. So, but what do we do about teaching the theory of relativity if it's not an accurate statement? Or is it accurate only for certain applications?
Einstein did his job well. I believe that the theory of relativity is a well-thought-out theory, and it offers to explain the events that are going on in the real world today. It is an explanation, but is it the correct explanation? And what I want to say here is that there are alternative explanations. There are alternatives to relativity. Einstein said in his own word, if the velocity of light is not constant in all frames of reference, then all of my theories are wrong. The theory of gravitation and electromagnetism is false. And the fact that the velocity of light is not constant in all frames of reference would cause a problem with relativity. But however, one could take another side of that coin and use Galilean transformations of velocities, which states actually that the velocity of light is not constant in all frames of reference, that the velocity of light depends on the motion of the source. And there are many theories and also observation that lends to support that. And my theory, which is an emission theory, actually shows that this is the case. And I have some publications that from renowned peer-reviewed journals. These are referee journals, people who referee your work before they publish it. You get by referees and you get this work published. That is also stated on my website. So if you go to the website, you'll see that. And I have pointed out, however, how we actually miss some of these alternative viewpoints. And the student should be taught, at least allowed, to express themselves and to understand the science using their own intuitive thoughts rather than being drilled to think a certain way.
Well, now, when you brought up the whole thing about Einstein there, I was, you know, flipping back through my life, and I don't remember ever learning anything except for Einstein's theory of relativity, not about the fact that if all frames of reference, you know that one.
Oh, yes.
I don't remember learning that. Makes everything null and void if they don't meet or match.
Well, the thing is, if you take physics and you go deeper into the physical sciences and become let's say accepted in your degree, one of the requirements is that the students understand the framework of relativity and what it is based upon. And the basis of relativity is the Lorentz transformations and the constancy of the velocity of light in all frames of reference. And the velocity of light is constant in all frames of reference. If that were not the case, then relativity could not be correct. It would fail if the velocity of light is not constant in all frames of reference.
And it's not.
Oh, yes.
Hmm.
And that's the problem right now. When we look at the deep space, we see a lot of evidence. that says something different. And this is what why there are so many new theories now trying to correct the old theories. There's an attempt to try to correct with new theories and new thoughts to try to correct something that is seen to be flawed.
Right, exactly. Well, and I feel like that the rules would be different depending on where you're at, because it's the rules for us are different than it is for the rules of maybe another planet because of whatever else is going on, you know, because of our magnetic pole, because of our moon, because of that. So we're here in this little spot, and the principles and the laws that are here wouldn't necessarily affect, say, the planet Pluto or Neptune because of where the sun is positioned and all the other activity going on, even in our own solar system. Just an idea.
Oh, yes. that's right. We have to be aware of our frame of reference.
Right.
Or how we are looking at things. And,
right.
And where we are standing and so forth.
Well, what is your website? And let's talk about that, and let's make sure that we remind people that you have written a book called The Extinction Ship Principle. Highly recommend it. Very easy reading, even for people such as myself who are not scientifically designed.
Oh, yeah. But you can go directly to the website, and on the website is at extinctionshift.com. And you put the word extinction as extinction of fire, and then you put shift as in shift gears of the car. Put those two words together, and you will have extinctionshift.com. And then you're at the website. And you can also Google also in using the Google search engine or any search engine, and you come up with some work that is related to some of the things that I have been posted. And also on the website, I mentioned the paper that was published, Timeless Art Images from the Center of the Galaxy. You can Google that also, and you can download papers on that.
Absolutely fabulous. Thank you so much, Dr. Doughty. You guys don't go away. We'll be right back.
Journeys with Rebecca is sponsored by Fate Magazine, providing true accounts of the strange and unknown for over 58 years. To receive your free copy of Fate Magazine, call 800-728-2730 or log on to fatemag.com.
Call Rebecca and schedule your private reading. 888-95-TAROT. That's 888-958-2768. Where will your life journey take you?
Close your eyes for a moment. Now imagine you're away from it all. Beside a crystal clear mountain stream, the cool grass crunches underfoot. Take a deep breath and drink in the sound of water cascading over the stones as birds call out from above. A real paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. And with your help, places like this one can last forever. You see, the Nature Conservancy works locally with communities, businesses, and people like you to preserve the most precious natural places around the world. They protect the animals that live there, the plants that grow there, and even the water. That way, this beautiful place will be beautiful forever. And we'll make sure that closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. That's nature.org.
Thank you to my wonderful guest today. And thank you for listening. Please take a moment and check out the wonderful sponsors of Journeys, Fate Magazine. Published continuously since 1948, Fate is the longest running publication of its kind. Find out more at www.fatemag.com. Please visit my website for more information. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. And of course, there you'll find all the latest news, events, and show information. And please feel free to write me. Tell me what you think of the show or my guests. Email me at mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. Or leave a message on my comment line, 913-828-5559. Until we meet again, where will your life's journey lead you? many blessings, and good night.